All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, Week 17 edition, final show of the 2010s edition. And I am honored to have been here for as long as I have. I am excited about starting a new decade as we end what honestly has been a pretty disappointing one. And we're going to talk today about not just this season as it comes to a close. We're going to talk about the Falcons game a little bit. We're going to look back at the past 10 years a little bit. And listen, you know, we have this thing with round numbers in our society. So we're ending another year on our calendar and starting a new one. It's really no different than the switch from 2017 to 2018 was, or from 2018 to 2019 was. Any 10-year stretch could be considered a decade, but we like our round numbers and our base 10 numerical system, so we think of this as flipping over to a new decade, because we're starting the 20s in a few days here, which in and of itself is kind of cool, because it didn't really feel like the past two decades like had any delineation. They kind of blended into each other. Maybe it's just because of the naming thing, where it's just easy to say the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, whatever. You know, the 2000s, the 10s, or the teens, whatever. It just didn't sound right. So now we can get back to having like set decades, just like it was in the 90s. You know, we all love that, right? So I guess that's something at least psychologically we latch on to. But since we do that in our society, all right, we'll look back at the decade, and obviously it hasn't been a great one, but either way, another season is coming to a close, and that's always a little bit sad for me. Even if the Bucks are doing well, you know, even if we were getting ready for the playoffs, obviously we'd be looking forward to another game and all that stuff, but either way, like, we only get 16 of these a year. I always say that. We only get those 16 three-hour blocks out of all those 365 days, and we're at the end of another one here on Sunday at 1 o'clock when the Bucks take on the Falcons. So thank you for joining us. The Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, where now, just like always, you can get the unlimited lifetime warranty. And there's nobody else doing this, and this is why I always harp on it every week, because it's such a difference maker when you're looking for a car. Because at Bill Curry Ford, you don't just get the car, you get the ability to bring that car back in, whether it's 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now, as long as you're still the owner and you bought it at Bill Curry Ford, okay? Engine trouble? Bring it in. They'll take care of it. You've got that warranty. Like, that is something that stays with the car, with you, as long as you own it. That's in addition to the first year of unlimited service with all your oil changes and stuff. That's up to 10 years, in addition to 10 years, totally covered roadside assistance. You don't need AAA and all that stuff. It's all taken care of. So that's what you get with the car. They've got tons of inventory, brand new, pre-owned, certified, used, all that stuff. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, and check out all of the inventory. And remember, you get that warranty on top of the already transparent online pricing in person, where they've always been, a mile and a half north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, right there on the right side of the road if you're heading north. So, here we are. The Bucks are about to play the 692nd game in franchise history to conclude the 44th season of franchise history when they play the Falcons on Sunday. Out of those 44 seasons now, it will be the 34th one, sadly, that will end without a playoff berth. They've made the playoffs 10 times in their 44 years. And it's become kind of a rite of passage for me because, you know, every year at Christmas, my whole family's from here, so we stay home for Christmas. We go to my mom's house for Christmas Eve, usually go to my aunt's house on my dad's side of the family for Christmas Day, or for, you know, depending on how the calendar falls, one of the days right around Christmas. And that's what we always do. My wife's family, her parents live in South Florida, down there in Fort Lauderdale. So we always go to visit them after Christmas, that week after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, which we're doing again this week. And when we do, it almost always falls on week 17 of the NFL season. So it's like, it really has become a tradition now. On the Sunday of week 17 of me being in South Florida, usually at my father-in-law's house, and me seeking out the Buck game, whether it be on his computer or going to some local sports bar. Sometimes it's on TV in South Florida and I can actually watch it in his living room. And this happens every year now where I do this. And I go, oh, I got to find a place to watch the Buck game. And he looks at me like I have three heads. And he's like, what? Are they? They're not in the playoff race, right? This game doesn't matter, does it? I'm like, well, no, it doesn't. You know, they're not playing for anything, but still, I have to watch the Buck game. He's like, well, what's the big deal? Just check it on your phone or something and get the score. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, and he's a Saints fan. He's actually from Houma, outside of New Orleans, but still, he doesn't understand that. You know, doesn't matter that the Bucks aren't in a playoff race. I understand that. I have not missed a Buck game, whether it be in person being there or whether we're watching it on TV or even listening to it on the radio back in the old blackout days when not every home game was on TV. One way or another, I have been in contact with every single Bucks game, every single one they have played since probably 1985. So that's probably 4 or 5 years old. So when I think of the holidays and I think of all the things that come with it, like spending time with family, you know, presents or whatever, you know, all the things you do, putting lights up, and we're not even religious people, but we still do all these things just because, you know, culturally you do them and the kids love it. But the point is, when I think of all the things, all the trappings of the holiday season, searching for a way to watch a meaningless Week 17 Bucks game while in South Florida has now become one of those traditions. And sadly, we're going to do it again on Sunday as the Bucks will play in Week 17 with nothing on the line for, well, really just, there's only been two times in the past 10 years that they haven't gone into Week 17 with nothing on the line. If you look at past seasons, I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, but it doesn't feel like it was. It feels like a longer time ago, really. 2016, the Bucks were alive going into Week 17. They had a chance to win, and had the Lions lost that week, then the Bucks would have been in the playoffs. The Lions did win. I think it was a common opponent tiebreaker then that got the Lions into the playoffs instead of the Bucks. Bucks were clearly better that year, too. It was garbage. But anyway, Lions got the playoff spot. Bucks didn't make it. And then going back six more years to 2010, of course, I remember the Bucks going into that week with a chance to make the playoffs. They won at New Orleans against a tough Saints team and ended up having a real good chance there, but the Packers had to lose their game, and it was played. The Bucks game was at 1, I think, and the Packers game was at 4. Packers ended up winning. Packers got in the playoffs on a strength of victory tiebreaker, and even that was close, if I remember correctly. And of course, you probably remember the Packers went on to win their only Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers' only Super Bowl, and to this day, it irks me about a terrible offensive PI call against Kellen Winslow back in Week 15 that cost the Bucks a game. Otherwise, the Packers wouldn't even been in the playoffs, much less won the Super Bowl. But that's how fine the line is in the NFL. That's how tight these things can get. And of course, we can look back all we want on things the Bucks could have done and should have done. Either way, they have a chance to get to 8-8. It would only be the second time in franchise history that they finished 8-8 if they win on Sunday. They did the same thing in 1998, coming off that huge playoff year in 97. And then they ended up going to the playoffs consecutive seasons, like 4 in a row after that, culminating in their Super Bowl bid. So whatever you want to take from all that, those are the numbers. But here's what I know. You know, starting when we go back 10 years to the beginning of the 2010 season, it was Raheem Morris, who, by the way, did a hell of a coaching job with the 2010 Bucks, and they didn't do well enough to make the playoffs, but that team went 10-6, would have taken 11-5 to get in. That team was not a great team, and obviously it all melted down in 2011, and Raheem got fired. But that was how the decade started. We've been through 5 head coaches since then. We finished last in the division 7 of the 10 years, including this year, which won't be a last-place finish. We already know that that'll be one of the 3 in this past decade that was not a last-place finish. And they will finish the decade either 60-100 if they win on Sunday, or 59-101 if they don't. It's just been altogether not good. Rick Stroud, the Tampa Bay Times Buccaneer beat writer, wrote a good column in the paper on Friday morning about this. And he said the whole thing basically, he said that the odor, you can be tracing it back to the Glazer's office, basically. Because that's the one common thread through all of these things. And, you know, we've talked about that a lot of times on this show. Obviously, there have been a lot of poor decisions made. Obviously, there is only one common thread through Raheem Morris, through Lovie Smith, through on and on and on and on. And it's them, through 2 general managers and Mark Dominic and Jason Light. Either way, I don't want to dwell on it. You know, it's not been a great decade in Buccaneer history. But again, if you just take every decade in isolation just by its round numbers, you know, it's probably the worst one because nothing, literally nothing happened. No playoff appearances. I mean, if you just look at them in terms of 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, every decade has included something, even the 70s with them going 0-26 and then making the NFC Championship game. You know, something has happened. Really, nothing has happened in this decade, and yet so many things have happened. Now, if you just want to take rolling 10-year periods, of course, the period of time from 1982 to 1996 still stands alone as the single most barren stretch of anything. I mean, almost any pro sports team, you can't really compare much to it. And the Bucks in that stretch not only didn't make the playoffs, but had double-digit losses for all but like one of those 15 seasons. That, of course, coincided with my entire, you know, first 15 to 16 years of my life, which is why 1997 was so rewarding. So there are kids out there now who are, again, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, 7, 8, 9 years old, however young they are. Really, any kid born after 2005 has no recollection of anything happening ever. Maybe even a kid born after 2002, because 2005 and 2007 were the two playoff years they've had most recently. And if you were born in 2003, you don't remember any of those. So a kid born in 2003 who's 16 years old today reminds me just of myself in 1996, where I was 16 years old, didn't even know what, I couldn't even spell the word playoffs in 1996 when I was a junior at Jesuit High School. And then the Lightning made it. The Bucks made it a year later. Obviously, things open up, and I had some of the most fun I've ever had as a sports fan as a senior in high school in that 1997 Bucks season. So I'm hoping that some of those kids have something to look forward to in the next few years as we start the 20s. Now, what, above all else, is probably going to determine how much they have to look forward to, how excited they're going to get, at least in the next few years, right? It's the quarterback, of course, right? So here we are again. Obviously, Saturday happened. The Bucks lose the game 23-20 to the Texans. Jameis Winston throws four picks, three of them on his first 11 throws, and we're back to, you know, just like the roller coaster goes. We go up to the top of these loop-de-loops, then we sink back down, on and on and on. We're used to this by now. Nothing that happened on Saturday was surprising. Nothing that happened in the prior weeks when he was throwing for multiple touchdowns and pretty low interception rate, none of that was surprising either. He can do it both ways. But here's what it comes down to. We're at 28 interceptions right now. Nobody ever has thrown for 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. Jameis already has 31 touchdowns, so he's got a chance to be that guy, the only member of that club, if he throws two picks on Sunday, which we hope he does not, obviously. But even without the touchdown passes, nobody's thrown 30 interceptions in a season at all since 1980. I think it was Lynn Dickey of the Green Bay Packers. Some of our older listeners may remember that. But either way, this is pretty rare air. So what Jameis is doing, there's nothing average about it. And yet if you took a big, giant pot and dumped all of his numbers in, the touchdown passes, the interceptions, you know, if you want to go into advanced stats, the EPA added, the EPA lost, everything, and you stirred it into a big pot and then baked it, what would come out of the oven? An overall pretty middle-of-the-pack season. Again, taking everything into account, the good and the bad, it averages out to a midline baseline. Of course, almost nothing has actually touched that line and stayed on it this season. Things have been crisscrossing it up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, all season long. One thing I'll say for Jameis, his interceptions have come in bunches in some of these games, and it's not like he consistently throws two or three picks a game. He'll either throw one or he'll throw like three or four. We've got 15 games this season. In five of the games, Jameis has had three picks or more. In those games, he's got 19 of his 28 pick total in just those five games. It's unbelievable. And the Bucs are 1-4 in those games. In the other 10 games, he only has 9 picks across those 10 games. And the Bucs are 6-4 in those games. So, I'm reaching here a little bit. I'm just trying to look for things, look for reasons why we can maybe say, it's one thing if you're just consistently throwing picks every single game at a certain rate. He tends to just have games where it just comes completely off the handle. And again, we've had five of those this year with three or more picks, and including this past Saturday. And those games are the ones that have hurt the Bucks the most, obviously, with their record. The other 10 games where they're 6-4, and it really should be 7-3 if Matt Gay makes a short field goal against the Giants. But either way, I was on Rock Riley's show this past week, and Rock's a good friend of mine. Anybody who's been listening to Sports Talk Radio or watching Bay News 9 back when he was on Bay News 9 in those days, I mean, he's a old guard veteran of Tampa Bay sports media, and I go on a show sometimes. So he asked me about Jameis Winston. He always does every time I'm on there. And, you know, I said the thing with the interceptions that I'm just hanging on to is that we can call out just some of them. I mean, he's never going to be a guy who throws four picks in a season or something like Aaron Rodgers or whatever is going to do this year. That's fine, though. I mean, can we live with, like, high teens? And if you look at his numbers from previous seasons, and this is his fifth season, I got his numbers right here for his career. His interception rate, it's actually gone up almost every season. In his rookie year in 2015, he threw interceptions at a 2.8% clip of all pass attempts. Then it was up to 3.2 in 2016. 2017, back down to 2.5. Then 2018, 3.7. Now this year it's 4.7, which is astronomical. The league average is 2.3%. So if you look at just totals for interceptions until this year with 28, it's 15, 18, 11, 14, and 28. And again, that's varying numbers of games. But my point is, some of this is just a product of Bruce Arians' offense. Not all of it, but some of it. Because Winston overnight didn't just start throwing more picks because he throws more picks. It's a, you know, he's always been interception prone, but there's obviously factors at play in the way the Bucs run their offense. If you look at the yards, it's the same thing. You know, his previous high was 4,090 in 2016. He's going to probably, unless he gets hurt or something early in the game on Sunday, he's going to have 5,000 this year. He's at 4,908 right now. Same thing with TDs. 31 by far is the most he's had. He had 28 in 2016, but no other season that he had more than 22 besides that. And if you look at this, all the numbers altogether, he's gotten better yards, touchdowns, all those things, while also the interceptions. So we've improved volume on everything. So now it's almost like a weightlifter. I don't know how many of you guys lift weights, but you know how you try and bulk, you try and put the muscle on. And to put muscle on, you have to kind of eat more than what you'd normally eat. Muscle doesn't just grow out of thin air. So when you're bulking, you're lifting heavy, you're eating, you're just trying to get muscle on any way you can. And your body fat percentage is usually going to go up a little bit too when you do that. It's just a byproduct of having to build muscle any type of way. And then after you get that muscle built, then, okay, now I'm going to do a cutting phase. Now I'm going to keep that muscle, but now I'm going to get my body fat back down to where it was before I built the muscle. The net effect, of course, is to build lean muscle and either burn body fat or at least keep it where it was while building the muscle. So I kind of feel like maybe that's what we're doing with Jameis here. We've gotten the muscle built up. All right, we've gotten those yards beefed up, baby. We've gotten those touchdowns. Bucks are moving the ball. This is an offense that can move. All right. But along with that has come some extra body fat in the form of interceptions. So now we've done our bulking phase. Now we got to go through a little bit of a cutting phase here. Keep the touchdowns, keep the yards, get the interceptions, get the body fat back down to where it was before. Because I think we can live with like 20 interceptions, 16, you know, one and a quarter a game. Like somewhere in the high teens every season. You know, you're going to have a few with a guy like Jameis, but this is just, and maybe I sound like a complete idiot to some of you. Maybe some of you just cannot comprehend the idea of Jameis Winston getting any better than he already is, and maybe you're tired of this roller coaster ride. But I really think now that we've bulked, all right, now we can cut and we can get that nice trim physique that we want, muscular yet no body fat, and get, you know, all the best of everything. And again, you're going to have to live with some of it. But I think the 28 picks can be worked on while still preserving the 31 touchdowns, while still preserving the nearly 5,000 yards. And if it has to go a little lower than that, then so be it. This Bucs defense now gives them a chance, you know, and that's something that hadn't been the case in a lot of prior years. And now it's to the point where our offense is hurting the defense. If you look at DVOA, the Bucs defense is sixth in the league right now. It's very good. And if you look at defense just in terms of points allowed, they're 30th out of 32. But that's not the defense allowing those points. There have been the pick sixes accounting for 42 points. Never mind the countless times that field position has been flipped and the defense has been put in a position where the other team takes the ball over inside Buck territory because of a turnover or something like that. So those things also hurt the defense, and it's one reason why a defense that should be top 10 appears to the untrained eye as if it's bottom half because of all the points, and it's not the defense itself that's often responsible for that. So, bottom line, you can't throw games away the way Jameis Winston has. I mean, I'll be the first one. Obviously, this isn't, you know, some big groundbreaking revelation, but, you know, we're going to do this for one more season at least. I don't think there's any surprise there, even though it hasn't officially been announced. And when we do, you better damn well trim that body fat. And it's on Jameis Winston. It's on the coaching staff to figure out a way. How do we preserve the muscle? How do we cut body fat? Because we've added both body fat and muscle this year. And so we're getting bigger and stronger, but we also don't look, you know, kind of a little dad bodish. Let's get that body fat back down. Let's go for the, what's his name? I forget the, I don't follow celebrities. Who's the latest guy? I mean, anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's what we need to do as far as the analogy goes. I think it's an apt one. I lift weights, and so that's the first thing that came to mind, but I really do think it makes the most sense when you're trying to compare what Jameis Winston could be and should be with what he actually has been so far. Just throwing some other numbers at you, just in case you're, you know, wanting to hear some crazy stuff. Jameis's 28 interceptions. If you add Brady, Breeze, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, Rodgers, and Wilson, okay, that's six guys. Add them all together, they've got 29. That's one more pick. If you look at the 300-yard games, though, on the other hand, that Jameis has had, 11 of the 15 games this season so far have been 300-yard games. Only three players have had more 300-yard games in a single season than those 11, and it might be 12 after Saturday or after Sunday. The three names are Brady, Manning, and Breeze. So if he can throw, well, he already can, as has done it, but if he throws for 300 yards again, I mean, this is what we're looking at. That's the company he'd be in. Brady, Manning, Breeze, Winston. And it just, there's so many stats you can come up with on both sides of this, depending on if you're, it's almost like politics, depending on what side you're on. Although the both sides thing is really, really overplayed in politics. In this case, there are both sides. Like, you've got the people that hate Jameis that can throw a million stats at you on how the interceptions are just incredible and how he's killing the Bucs. And then other people can come back with, oh, well, here you go. Here's numbers that put him in company with Brady, Manning, Breeze, on and on and on and on. Point of it all is, folks, we've got one more season to do this. And what it comes down to is what I said at the very beginning and have said through the years. You know, it's hard to start over. It's hard to find quarterbacks who can do this. You're not going to find many guys who can do the things Jameis Winston can do positively. Obviously, you're not going to find many that can do what he can do negatively either. Nobody's hitting interception rates as much as that. But the point is, it's hard to find people. So if you don't get it to work with him, then you're starting over. And I don't know what's going to happen as far as the draft and things like that, either this year or in coming years. But bottom line, what I always keep saying, this just really needs to work. Like, can we all agree that it'd just be a lot easier if this just worked out with Jameis Winston and we were set for the next 5 to 10 years with Jameis Winston and he could play into his mid-30s? He's only 25 as the Bucs franchise quarterback and we could keep re-signing him the new contracts in perpetuity. Maybe he could even take less money the way Brady does every few years just to keep the team around him so juiced up. And we're just set. We're one of those teams that never even thinks about quarterback. Can we? That would be like, it really would be nice if we could do that. Now, obviously, that could very well be a pipe dream, but we've got a little more time to find out if you don't think we've found out already. Whatever happens Sunday won't be what it comes down to. Now, here is what is on the line on Sunday, because there are a few things that this game will make a difference. First of all, draft pick. The Bucs right now, given all possible scenarios, win or loss for them, wins and losses for other teams, are going to draft either somewhere between 12th at the highest or 19th at the lowest. So likely somewhere in the teens. If they win, okay, they'll pick 16th, 17th, 18th, or 19th, something between 16 and 19. If they lose, they'll pick between 12th and 15th. Now, I don't know how much of a difference you think that makes. I don't think it makes that much of a difference at that point, but it could. I mean, there's no way to know. Either way, it's not enough to make me root for the Bucs to lose when I think it's important to psychologically for this quote-unquote winning culture people always talk about. I think it'd be a nice thing to be able to finish 8-8 and having won 4 out of 5 down the stretch and things like that. Not that I think it gives them momentum toward next year, because I don't believe in that, but I do think it matters to win football games. You always talk about winning games, so it's good to actually go out and do that for real. As far as next season's schedule, and as you all know, you're a well-educated listener of the Free Stretch, you know that only two of the 14 games are determined by where you finish in the standings. People talk about first place schedule, second place, fourth place. It's all incredibly overblown. But if they win on Sunday, they would finish second in the NFC South. If they lose, they would finish third. And the Falcons would finish second. So if they win, their two games next year that would be determined by finishing second would be on the road at either Philadelphia or Dallas, whoever doesn't win the division, likely Dallas. And then they would host either Seattle or San Francisco, whoever doesn't win the NFC West. That's if they win. If they lose, we already know the two teams. If they lose, they would be on the road at the New York Giants and at home against the Rams. So you're either getting Rams, Giants, or most likely Cowboys and either Seahawks or 49ers. And again, the way the NFL shifts from year to year, I mean, somebody who finished last place last year in their division in the NFC played San Francisco this year and probably thought in the offseason, oh, cool, we get to play the 49ers, they suck. And they're one of, if not the best teams in the NFL, certainly in the NFC. And so that's my point. These people that hyperventilate over, oh my God, second place schedule, it's going to be so much tougher. You don't know. I mean, Philadelphia or Dallas? Okay, whatever. The Giants could end up being better than both Philadelphia and Dallas next year. Who the hell knows? And same thing, you know, the Rams. Okay, the Rams were in the Super Bowl last year. The 49ers were terrible. If you finish first place last year, you got the Rams. If you finish last place, you got the 49ers. That's exactly. So you see what I'm saying? So don't freak. This stuff doesn't matter as much as anybody thinks it does. And I don't want people to think that, oh my God, we need to lose the game for draft position. We need to lose the game for schedule strength. Just enjoy it. Listen, this is my last thing I'm going to say here. And if you want to email me, I always love getting your emails. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. It's BobbyGameDay. This is the last thing I'm going to say, okay? This is the last thing I'm going to say of the decade. We, if you're listening to this show, you, me, whoever it is, we're all Bucks fans, all right? I love this team. You love this team. I'm here through thick and thin. I've been through it all my entire life since I was, you know, a kid in the 80s all the way through now. And I love all of, I'm a Tampa guy. I love all of our Tampa teams, the Lightning, the Rays. I'm a University of Florida graduate, so Gator football and Gator basketball. For me, though, the Bucks are the only constant my entire life that's been the same. You know, we didn't have the Lightning till I was 12. We didn't get the Rays till I was 18. And the Gators, I didn't, you know, enroll there till obviously I was college aged. But the Buccaneers, that's the one of the few things in my entire life besides like my actual family that I look back to 1985, 1990, 1995, 2000, all through the years, through childhood, through adolescence, through puberty, all right, through relationships, through marriage, kids, all that stuff. Everything changes in life. And that one thing hasn't changed. Like, nothing about it changed. I love that. I love holding on to a few things that are the same, whether I'm going to be 80 years old or 8 years old. As long as there's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and as long as there's a me, I'm going to be watching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and rooting for them. It has nothing to do with being in the media either, long before I ever started doing a radio show or a podcast or anything like that. So, we get this one more game, and I always get a little emotional in week 17 since it's the end of football season in general. I can't believe it's already over. And we've got the best part coming up, of course, with the playoffs and, you know, the college football playoff too, the national championship game. But the bulk of the season is now over, and the regular season will be over on Sunday. So just enjoy it all for what it is. Football's a gift, man. I mean, like I always say, the reason football is so great isn't just the game itself, although I do think it's the best game. And I love football just for football's sake. But you know what else makes it the best game is the scarcity, okay? We could make football season 6 months long and play 82 games like hockey or 162 games like baseball. I mean, we actually couldn't do that. But I'm saying if we could do that, I wouldn't want to because it would just probably get to be something you got used to and didn't feel special just like all the other sports. And I love hockey. I love baseball, but they don't feel special. As much as I love hockey and baseball, when it's not those seasons, I never think to myself, man, it'd be great if it was baseball season right now. I don't think about baseball at all when it's not baseball season. But football is different, right? I mean, football is the one you think about all year round. And as soon as we're done with this, what are we going to start doing? We're going to start looking at the draft. We're going to start getting ready for the schedule release, free agency, the combine, anything we can get our hands on, right? Only football can do that to people. And I know there's certain people that it does, baseball does that too, and hockey does that too. But as a society, you know, people talk about how football's dying, participation rates are down, this, that, and the other. And they are a little bit, although plenty of people are still playing football. They're just fine. And if you want to play football, you can too. DunedinPirates.com. Come join me. But my point is, all that talk's overblown. You know, like the 40 highest rated TV shows of the year 2019 are going to end up being? Like, it's literally, and I'm not even exaggerating, it's literally like 38 football games and like a couple of, like, I think the Grammys or something like that. Like, a couple of not, it's football. Like, we are football America. And part of that is because of how scarce it is and how fleeting it is. And this time of year is always so fun and so special, but also so short. So savor it. We get one more on Sunday. And whatever it is, I know it's not a playoff on the line, a playoff berth on the line. I know it's not a game with high stakes, and I know we haven't had very many games with high stakes in the past 10 years. But we're about to start a new decade. We're about to start the 20s. I am excited. I look forward to improved quarterback play from Jameis Winston. I look forward to new and improved uniforms, and really not all that new either. I just look forward to kind of going closer back to what we were wearing before. I look forward to a lot of positive changes in the coming decade, because I'm a positive, forward-thinking guy. I hope you are too. And if you're not, I hope this show helps you feel a little bit better about what's to come. So go ahead again. If you want to email me, I love hearing from you. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Twitter @BobbyGameDay. I will be back in 2020. I will be back next week. We'll do our wild card weekend preview show. I love wild card weekends. One of my favorite weekends of the year. We'll know the matchups. Everything will be set by that point. But either way, I want to make sure to thank all of you, not just for listening this week or for listening this season, but all the past few years as we start a new decade. I've never been more excited to be a part of JoeBucksFan.com. It's been great, and it's going to continue to be great. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform on the best place anywhere, whether it's online, whether it's in the newspaper, anywhere, that you're going to find Bucks coverage. Always being refreshed, always being updated, wall-to-wall coverage. Thanks to them. And thanks to all of you again. Be safe. Have fun for New Year's. I know there's a lot of different things people do. I'll get a show out with New Year's at some point. There's going to be a lot of college football going on, but we'll get something done. And in the meantime, folks, my son wants to say something. This is his last comment of the 20-teens.
Bucks got to get better.
They will get better. Be safe. Have fun. I will see you on the other side. 2020 is about to be upon us. And no matter what year it is, no matter what decade it is, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.